meeting for the year comes from the Gospel according to John, from the 17th chapter. This is from John's account of the Last Supper, the last night that Jesus spent with his disciples, and this prayer comes from the end of the Last Supper. After Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven and prayed, "Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, for he will give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory and work by completing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. I know with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And all has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but I am still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one." The second letter comes from Paul's first letter to Timothy, from the 4th chapter of the letter, verses 9 through 15. Paul writes these words: "This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance, and for this we labor and strive, that we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, and especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in those matters. Give yourselves wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. And may God bless to us and to our understanding these readings from His holy word." Will you pray with me? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I've asked John to help hand out, we have some handouts this morning. Useful as we go through this time together. I have some for you guys. And John and Connie are going to help distribute them to the rest of the congregation. As we sit here and we're talking to the kids, this is an important day for the members of our confirmation class because on this day, they are finishing one phase of their life and starting another one. They are finishing on a phase where they have spent hours reading through books on Presbyterian doctrine and theology. They have spent time conversing quietly for the most part on some of those questions in the class. Not a talkative class, I would have to say. But now, you guys have reached the point where you are actually adults in the eyes of the church. As I said, they were little kids. So, as far as the church is concerned, you are full-fledged adults. Now, I suppose there'll be some conversation about that between you and your parents, about just what that actually consists of. But as far as the church is concerned, you are not able to vote on any issue that comes up before the church. You could hold any office in the church. You could be an elder in the church. You could run for moderator of the General Assembly if you wanted to do that. You could get elected. I think that would definitely be a possibility. You're particularly responsible for your own faith, right? I mean, that's the idea here. These people, or some group of our not what we accepted. I thought a lot would make sense for us, for all of us, to stop and think about what it is we're going on here, what it is it means to be a follower of Jesus in the Presbyterian tradition. And that's why I gave you this handout, that's why I don't know about it when I say I don't sort of can stop and think about that, what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And the first thing I have to say is that being a follower of Jesus is not about conformity. Right? It's not about everybody exactly the same thing. There are some parts of the church, I don't mean some parts of the Presbyterian church or this church, there's some parts of the greater church in the world where they say, here's what we believe this or get out. But we don't really do things that way in the Presbyterian tradition. We believe in the Presbyterian tradition where it's important for us to think about stuff, and that it's important for us to talk about things and pray about every issue in the faith, because we think we're learning from one another. We actually think there's a benefit when we talk about things. I wouldn't say argue about things exactly, but we think there's some benefit when we talk to people that we don't agree with. It's actually one of the most important things that followers of Jesus can do is be willing to talk to people they don't agree with. Because lots of us, we just want to start with the people that just say the same things that we say, right? That believe the same things we believe. But most of the time when God teaches us something, he teaches it to us through people we start out disagreeing with, right? We never learn something from somebody that just tells us what we already know. So that's one of the important things about being a follower of Jesus that what Presbyterians understand us to be followers of Jesus. They look at God actually gives us a brain so that we can think about things and that we can grow up in our faith by talking about that kind of stuff together. There's another thing that Presbyterians believe about being a follower of Jesus. We believe that being a follower of Jesus doesn't mean that you just do what you're told. We believe it's not a matter of just doing what you're told. There's some parts of the church, the greater church in the world, that have people that have authority to just tell you what to believe and what to do. They're called bishops, and there's no bishops in the Presbyterian tradition. Right? Some parts of the church, like the Roman Catholic Church or the Orthodox Church or the Methodist Church, have bishops, and bishops have authority to tell everybody else what to do. And when a bishop tells you what to do, you have to do it. But Presbyterians have never been comfortable with that, because if somebody has that kind of authority, well, what if they do something wrong? What if they are sinful? What if they do wrong things? And they have the authority to make other people do wrong things. And they have the authority to cover up the bad things that other people do. So in our tradition, we never give anybody that kind of authority. But there's no Presbyterian in the world that can tell everybody else what to do. Pastors don't have that kind of authority. A lot of bishops in the Presbyterian Church, we believe that what ought to happen is people get together and talk about things and pray about things. So we elect elders. You know, remember, that's actually what Presbyterian means, right? Governed by elders. So we elect elders, and we think about, if we get together and we think about things and we pray about things and we talk about things, then we're likely to figure out what God actually wants. Then we are, there's just one person that's able to have authority over all the rest of us. So here in the Presbyterian Church, we know the elders that are the session. Everybody's not the session today. And then the sessions of all the churches get together, that's the presbytery. That's a bunch of elders. They do the same things, right? Talk about things and pray about them and make decisions. Then you have the synod and all the elders there, and then you have the general assembly. But in every elder, it's the same thing. Nobody has the authority to tell us to just do what we're told and shut up. And I think that's an important part of what it means to be a follower of Jesus in the Presbyterian tradition. The first thing I would say about being a follower of the Presbyterian Church, a follower of Jesus in the Presbyterian Church, is we do not believe that you have to accept everything in the Bible as fact. You might remember, we made this distinction in class, right? There's a difference between fact and truth. actually seed by God's gracious love in our lives. We can't think good enough to get to heaven, right? Because we always do, we always sin. We always do crummy things. Leaders in our part of the church way back long ago said that there's this thing called total depravity. Remember us talking about that in class? And it sounds bad when you first heard it, right? Total depravity. But what it really means is there's no part of our life that isn't touched by sin. Look at the crummy of the people in our family. Like, sin compromises our relationships with our family, causes discord in our family. Sin causes problems between husbands and wives. Sin causes problems in the economy, right? There's some people that are grumbling or that chew their minds still. Sin causes problems in our political life, heaven forbid, because people can be crummy all over the place. There's sin everywhere. Like, even in the church, even sometimes we can be selfish and nasty to one another in the church. So we believe that we're not able to be good enough to get into heaven. That our new life in Jesus is just a gift from God. It's called grace. The word grace means unearned favor. We don't know anything about it, but God for some reason pours out his favor on us in ways that we can't actually explain. This grace thing, I have to say that most of the people around us here, as we're sitting here, we don't completely believe this. This is something we're kind of working on, because our theology teaches us that you can't be good enough to get into heaven, but part of our mind wants to believe that you have to really be good to get into heaven. And I know this because when I do funerals, it's very common for people to say to me, "I know Grandpa's in heaven because he led a good life." Right? But that's not what our faith actually teaches us. That you don't get to heaven by leading a good life, but you get to heaven by being a follower of Jesus. And that's what we as Presbyterian followers of Jesus really believe, that how we get to be a part of the heavenly kingdom. We also believe that the life of faith is not about thinking that we're superior to anybody else, that we're any better than anybody else. It's about God loving us even though we're not better than anybody else. The Bible actually says that as followers of Jesus, that doesn't make us better than other people. Right? We're not better. Sometimes Christians get that idea in the world, right? That we think we're better than everybody else. But the Bible doesn't support that idea. The Bible says that we're not any better than anybody else, and we're just as likely to sin as anybody else. The Apostle Paul, who wrote a whole bunch of the New Testament, he's probably the greatest Christian that ever lived. And he was constantly bothered by the fact that even though he tried to be good, that he would continue to sin. So the Bible doesn't tell us that as followers of Jesus, we're any better than anybody else. We're just forgiven our sins, right? We just have the chance to pray a prayer of forgiveness, like, I love that, Joseph, and then the prayer of confession. Well, that's why we do this, because it reminds us that we're all sinned against God, and so we need to be forgiven. But the other thing about that is recognizing that we continue to sin against God, that we're not superior to other people, we can't look down on anyone else either, right? Because we sin just like they do. So as Presbyterian followers of Jesus, we're reminded that we can't look down on anybody because we're no better than they are. Presbyterian being a follower of Jesus also tells us that the life of faith is not about having a nice building and comfortable pews, because the actual work of the church takes place out there. I don't know if you noticed this. When they built this church, there's no stained glass windows. Did you ever notice that? In lots of churches, they have windows stained glass, but this sanctuary doesn't have any stained glass. You know what that is? Do you ever wonder about that? They can start wondering now. But I'm going to give you the answer. The truth is, the men and women that built this church, when they designed this church, they recognized that that's where the work of the church actually goes on. Like, not in here. Being a follower of Jesus isn't just about worshiping and having a comfortable building and padded pews. But actually, the work of the church takes place out there. You know, sometimes we say that the church is like a hive of bees, that we've got to go up there to do the work of the church. We just can't do anything if we stay in the hive. We have to go out in the world, and then we go out in the world that cause fruitfulness, not that cause fruit to happen on trees. And the followers of Jesus are supposed to be like that too. We're called to go out into the world to serve other people, because out there is where things
Scientists even people who are not believers, like Stephen Hawking, who's not a believer, he said, I'm not a believer, but when I look at what the way the universe is put together, it correlates me to form religious conclusions. So the truth is, science tells us about God's creation, and the more we study science, the more we can know about God's relationship with us and what he's done in the world and what he has in mind for us. So that's one of the lessons that the Presbyterian tradition has always told us, and we should not be science deniers. We should use science to enrich our understanding about God. By the way, Presbyterians also believe that if God created everything around us, if God created the universe and the world that we live on, then we ought to take care of it, right? Because if God made it, it deserves our care. It's something that God made and cared about. God created the earth and then said, this is good. So if God thinks it's good, we probably have a responsibility not to pollute it, right? We probably have a responsibility to work to take care of the earth. And that's something that Presbyterian followers of Jesus have always believed. Presbyterian believers, followers of Jesus, also believe that the Christian faith, following Jesus, is not about having a moral God that wants to keep men in control. That's something that's been an important part of our tradition. We believe that men and women are equally made in God's image. So it's not just the men who are made in God's image, but women are as well. When we look back to history, God is often referred to using moral metaphors, right, like king or father or son or whatnot. But we believe those are metaphors. Those aren't the real reality of God. Even if God is beyond gender, right, God is not male or female. We know God is everyone. Every person you make displays the image of God. And that's why in our tradition, there are men and women in all offices of the church. We have met with some female elders today, right? We have very talented female elders in this church. And there's some very talented women clergy pastors in the world. A good friend of this congregation is Jessie McMillan, right? She has tremendous gifts for ministry. What a waste it would be if we didn't take advantage of the gifts God's given her. So in the Presbyterian tradition, when we believe as followers of Jesus, we think it's important to remember that men and women both follow Jesus equally and both demonstrate and display the image of God in the world. And here's another thing. We believe that being a Presbyterian follower of Jesus, we believe that means understanding that we don't have everything figured out. Like we don't have all the answers. We have to keep working to try to figure things out and to do the church better. Our part of the church has had a motto for hundreds of years. It's a Latin motto, and the motto is Ecclesia Reformata Semper Reformanda. It means the Reformed Church always being reformed. So the church is always supposed to be trying to make itself better, right? We're never to the point where everything is exactly right. You might have heard there's an old saying that if the last, seven last words of the dying church is, that's the way we've always done it. Well, as church people, we always want to, once we get something the way that's comfortable, we want to keep it that way. Just keep doing it the same way. But we're not faithful to our tradition when we do that because our tradition teaches us that we're always supposed to be trying to do things better. So, that's what's on that handout I gave you, right? Kind of a summary of those things. So, you're Presbyterian followers of Jesus now, and that is kind of a list of what we understand Presbyterian followers of Jesus are supposed to be like. So, you can stick that inside the present that you got there from the church and maybe remind yourself from time to time, what it is you became on this day? Because on this day, you became an adult Presbyterian follower of Jesus. I just want to mention, before I shut up, too, this room that I just read, you're hearing from Paul. I don't remember what letter that he wrote to his friend Timothy. Timothy was a teenager when he became a church pastor. And maybe I remember when he said, well, don't let anybody look down on you because you're young. And I want to say that to you in front of all those people as well. Because God might speak something to you that the rest of us need to hear. God might give you a gift that the rest of us need to have. So on this day, you really did become full-fledged part of this community of faith. So don't let anybody ever stand between you and developing your life in Christ. Insist on the right to keep learning and growing as disciples of Jesus, and using the gifts God gave you, because God gave you those gifts for a purpose, and the purpose is his kingdom. Let's pray about that. Gracious God, we thank you for the privilege of being followers of your Son. the daughter of his passing this day, but give special thanks for those young men and women that sit in our midst on this day. I pray that you would speak to us through them. We do not want to tolerate them being here. We want to celebrate their being here. And we will listen to the word coming to us through them as it comes to us through all others. I pray that you would bless them, I pray that you would strengthen them, and I pray that you